The regime's claims about Israeli captives being held at Gaza's Shifa hospital is aimed at covering up its military failure. And the rights advocacy group says nearly 60 journalists have so far been killed in Israel's genocidal war on the besieged Gaza Strip. Hello everyone from the studios in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. Day 45 of Israel's genocidal war on Gaza. The regime's airstrikes and shelling are not letting up, and the death toll from the attacks is still on the rise. The total number of Palestinians killed during the war has now hit 13,000. The majority of the victims are women and children. On Sunday, Israeli bombardment killed 150 people in northern Gaza. Also in Gaza City, 41 members of a family lost their lives in a strike on their house. 32 other Palestinians were killed in separate attacks on two residential buildings in the Nusayrat camp in central Gaza Strip. The growing fatalities in Gaza are in addition to thousands of people who remain missing under the rubble of bombed-out buildings. People who are witnessing the unending cycle of bloodshed in Gaza are critical of the inaction by some Arab countries.
This is a war crime against the Palestinian people. The Arab and Islamic world, as well as the European countries, are watching us being slaughtered. We were left alone with only God to help us.
Reports coming from Gaza paint a grim picture of the situation of health facilities there. Israeli warplanes have also launched a violent attack on the vicinity of European Gaza hospital. 25 hospitals and 52 other health facilities have stopped working because of incessant Israeli bombings, as well as the lack of fuel, equipment and medicines. The head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Felipe Lazzarini, says targeting UNRWA shelters in the Gaza Strip shows a total disregard for humanity. The UNRWA chief said Israel's attacks on UN shelters blatantly contravene the rules of war. He said the number of fatalities, the number of facilities hit and civilians killed cannot just be collateral damage. Lazzarini said most of the facilities that have been hit had families in them, including older people and children. He said they were all clearly unmarked. They were all clearly marked as UN buildings carrying a blue flag. According to UNRWA, Israel has directly hit 17 of its facilities in Gaza since October the 7th. On Saturday, over 200 people were killed after Israeli airstrikes targeted two UNRWA schools in Jabalia. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called for an immediate end to the Israeli war crimes in Gaza. In a statement, Volker Turk described Israeli brutalities in Gaza as horrendous. He said the massacre of so many people and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of Gaza residents run counter to the principles of protecting civilians enshrined in international law. He said images taken in the aftermath of Israeli strikes on schools and hospitals are horrifying. The UN official also decried the regime for denying Palestinians access to humanitarian assistance. He reiterated that failure to comply with rules of international humanitarian law constitutes war crimes. Since Israel launched its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, around 1.6 million people have been displaced inside the besieged territory. Most of the people moving to the south from northern Gaza have taken shelter in Khan Yunis, which is now overcrowded. Here's what some of them had to say about the dire humanitarian situation there.
The place is very crowded, in the classroom, staircase, corridors and the yard. The school currently houses nearly 5,000 refugees and more people are still coming every day. The water is very scarce. All the refugees here consume non-potable water provided by a tank. Many children suffer from intestinal colic due to the contaminated water, in addition to malnutrition, because most of the food they eat is canned food.
There is a severe shortage of basic goods such as oil, sugar, flour. Since Khan Yunis received thousands of refugees from across Gaza Strip, these basic goods can no longer be found here.
We are displaced due to the heavy shelling on a place called Fallujah, and we went to Jabalia. The area was also targeted, and the corpses piled up on the streets because of the continuous bombardment. The ambulances carried the corpses to be buried in mass graves, and most of the corpses were mutilated. The Israeli army said it would expand the attacks, so we left.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has rejected as misleading and false the allegations that it is holding Israeli captives in the Al-Shifa hospital complex in Gaza City. Hamas said the Israeli regime is trying to cover up its military failure by leveling such allegations. It added that those claims are in line with the regime's campaign of lies and misinformation. The resistance movement noted that many of the injured captives were sent to the Al-Shifa hospital for treatment and then were returned to their places of detention. On Sunday, the Israeli military released videos showing Israeli captives are being taken to the Al-Shifa hospital, claiming that Hamas is holding them inside the medical complex. The claim is in line with the regime's accusation that Hamas's headquarters are located underneath Al-Shifa hospital, which has been denied by the resistance group. At least 59 Palestinian journalists have so far been killed in the ongoing Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, which began 1.5 months ago. According to the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, the figure is the highest number of journalists killed in wars and conflicts in recent history. It says Tel Aviv has turned this horrifying onslaught on Gaza into a killing spree for Palestinian journalists. The rights group adds, the regime is deliberately targeting media professionals and officers in an attempt to impose a news blackout on its war crimes. Euromed says Israel has purposefully left no safe haven for journalists in the besieged coastal territory. Yemeni armed forces say they have seized an Israeli ship in the Red Sea in response to the regime's massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. The spokesman for Yemeni armed forces said the ship has been taken to the country's coast. Yahya Sari said the ship's crew will be treated according to Islamic teachings. He also warned that those who cooperate with Israeli ships will also be a legitimate target for Yemeni armed forces. Sari stressed that it's Israel which is threatening the security of the region and international waterways. Israel has denied owning or operating the seized ship. It also says no Israelis were on board. The Yemeni army has also recently launched several rounds of missile and drone attacks against Israel. It says the military operations against Israel will continue until the regime stops its atrocities in Gaza. Cancer patients in Gaza are no exception to the regime's crippling restrictions on basic supplies and medicines. Let's take a listen to comments by two doctors and the father of a patient at the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital. They explain how the Israeli bans are affecting the patients.
The situation is not only tragic, it's more than tragic. Cancer patients are a fragile group. They need a lot of care from nurses and medical teams as well as psychological support, which we don't have now. As you all know, time is a really important factor for the life of the cancer patients. And if there was a delay in getting chemotherapy treatment, this will cause deterioration in the case. There were some cases we had to discharge and send to shelters. Unfortunately, four of these patients died because of the lack of medical care and because of the bad conditions there.
The situation is very, very, very bad in Gaza. It is a disaster situation. It is a call for the international community. Please come and save Gaza. Say something about Gaza. Do an action. You could be saying something very good. Yes, we are hearing you. Thanks to you. But really, we need you to come and take an action, to cease fire in Gaza, to stop killing of Gaza people, to stop killing of our patients, to stop killing our cancer patients.
My son has a cancer. He has a dangerous cancer. Today, he is bleeding from the rectus because the cancer mass is pushing against the muscle and the rectus. So he has been bleeding. He had an appointment to be treated in Nablus on the 8th of October, the second day of war. But unfortunately, the war started and he stayed in Gaza. Then the Turkish hospital was hit. There is no chemotherapy treatment or painkillers. I called on the Palestinian Authority, the health ministry, that I want painkillers.
Palestinian resistance fighters continue to deal blows to Israel in retaliation for its deadly aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. Hamas's military wing, the Al-Qassam Brigades, says it attacked Israeli troops in northern Gaza, forcing them to retreat after heavy clashes. The group said they destroyed 29 Israeli tanks and military vehicles in the latest fighting. Earlier, Al-Qassam Brigade said 6 Israeli soldiers were killed after it targeted them with anti-personnel rockets in a village south of Gaza City. The regime's army says it has lost 64 soldiers since launching a ground invasion in Gaza. However, resistance groups say Israel is concealing the real number of its casualties. Iran's foreign minister says resistance groups are engaged in phase one of spreading the war on the ground in the face of the Israeli atrocities against Palestinians. According to Hossein Amir Abdullahian, resistance groups have already announced that new fronts are likely to open if the Israeli regime fails to abide by a UN Security Council resolution on ending its war on Gaza. He says a new situation could unfold in the region if possible scenarios to stop Israeli crimes fail to produce any results. Meanwhile, the top diplomat says political and international efforts are focused on halting Israeli war crimes and genocide in Gaza, sending humanitarian aid there on a regular basis, and preventing the forced displacement of people in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. In a united front, Pakistanis have launched a fundraising campaign to provide crucial aid and relief for Palestinians affected by Israeli atrocities in Gaza. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi has more in this report.
Palestine will be free.
Thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in a solidarity march, fervently expressing their condemnation of the Israeli atrocities against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
It's not the silence from the world, it's only silence from our governors, our rulers. The people are here everywhere in all over the world. So the people are with the Palestine, with the Palestinians.
Down, down, occupation!
There were chants of solidarity as passionate individuals from all walks of life gathered to voice their concerns for Palestinian lives and express support for their rights.
As a mother and as a countrywoman, I am very much upset by seeing all this. I can't sleep. It's very painful. It is a genocide and it should be stopped.
Reacting to the continuing Israeli actions in Gaza, Pakistanis expressed support for Palestinians, not just through marches, but also through aid and financial assistance. Aid agencies are calling for urgent action and support, and also demanding the immediate opening of the Rafah border crossing. Humanitarian groups have been sounding the alarm, predicting a potential deterioration of the crisis in Gaza.
The Rafah border should be immediately open, and the aid should be delivered immediately to the people of Gaza. So far, very little aid is gone. 1,000 containers is the daily requirement at Gaza. More than 1 million people have dislocated from their homes. There is a very big humanitarian crisis. Food is required, tent is required, blanket is required, medicine is required.
Meanwhile, citizens across Pakistan are stepping up their commitment to the boycott campaign against pro-Israeli businesses. The movement has garnered widespread support and engagement.
By participating in marches of solidarity and extending aid to those affected, Pakistanis are vehemently denouncing what they see as war crimes committed by Israeli forces in Gaza, and sending a strong message of empathy and support for the people of Palestine. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
The situation in Gaza is worsening by the hour, that as international bodies hesitate to take serious action to stop Israel. Our correspondent Rashan Saglam has talked with Turkish residents who believe that a unified Muslim front can put an end to the Israeli regime's ongoing massacres.
In fact, what is happening is a massacre. Israelis have occupied Palestine. They have seized Palestinians and started killing them. Therefore, all people, not just Muslims, need to stand against this injustice. They are now doing to the Arabs what Hitler did to them. Now, even if I'm at home eating or drinking, I find it hard to swallow knowing there are innocent civilians being killed brutally. The world is silent in the face of what is happening there.
Israel. Israel is a criminal terrorist state, but the reason why Israel continues to commit these atrocities is that Muslims are divided, and if they unite, no one can harm them. Turkey is doing its best, but it cannot enter the war alone. This is unrealistic. European civilization is a fake civilization and has no credibility. Leaders of Arab countries, we all know who they are affiliated with, American and Jewish parties. That's why there is nothing we can do. But if Muslims unite, they can beat any force.
I am a 70-year-old woman, and I want to go there. But unfortunately, the laws and interests of the state are different. They are trying to solve the issue in conferences. While the number of martyrs is increasing, this is not something that can be solved in conferences.
What can we say? Israel is a terrorist state that aims at murdering Muslims. Hopefully God will take our revenge from them. Turkey is doing its best, but other countries do not support Turkey. If Arab countries stood with other Muslim countries, they could have solved this issue, but unfortunately, Arab countries are busy with their music concerts. Turkey alone cannot do anything, but one day our army will go there to defend Palestine.
Islamic countries should unite. This situation is unacceptable. In Islam, we are taught not to kill an ant. And how can we watch humans being killed like this, for God's sake? So we must lend them a helping hand. Muslim countries must unite to stop this genocide.
And with that, we come to the end of this bulletin. Thank you for being with us. Take care for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. With you early in the morning. With you at midday. With you till the night's end. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The peoples of the collective West, in open defiance of their failed and corrupt governments, have overwhelmingly come out in the millions in support of the Palestinian people. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "It is exceedingly difficult to put into mere words that Palestinians are currently witnessing in Gaza. It should be clear to even the densest Western corporate media journalists that we are seeing a genocide unfolding before the world in real time. The images we are viewing daily on various social media from Gazans are unspeakably horrific and belie the instead, false reporting in so-called mainstream media. As of this writing, 11,240 Palestinians in Gaza alone, including many entire families, have been killed by the savage Israeli regime war machine using American-made bombs and dropped by American-made war jets since October 7, 2023. The death toll includes at least 5,000 children and more than 3,000 women, The number of injured is some 29,000, the majority of which are children. The United States and its various pathetic, cowardly vassals, including the UK, Germany, Italy, France, and Canada, are fully on board and complicit with the genocide as they have either armed Israel and or repeatedly blocked UN resolutions for a full ceasefire. If anyone still doubts that the term genocide is applicable to Gaza, here is the full legal definition. According to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, genocide includes various acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, as such including killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part, and imposing measures intended to prevent birth within the group. The Zionist regime, which has continually carpet-bombed Gazan residential areas, mosques, churches, refugee camps, hospitals, schools, bakeries, and business districts, for example, is in clear violation of all sections of this textbook definition. The Zionist regime, the occupying power, has also cut off water and electricity to Gaza and is attempting to starve its entire population, while simultaneously preventing aid from entering through the Rafah border crossing. Additionally, Ross Segal, an Israeli associate professor of genocide studies at Stockton University and the endowed professor in the study of modern genocide, has stated, "Israel's campaign to displace Gazans and potentially expel them altogether into Egypt is yet another chapter in the Nakba, in which an estimated 750,000 Palestinians were driven from their homes during the 1948 war that led to the creation of Israel. But the assault on Gaza can also be understood in other terms. As a textbook case of genocide unfolding in front of our eyes, I say this is a scholar of genocide who has spent many years writing about Israeli mass violence against Palestinians." According to the United Nations Office on Genocide Prevention and the Responsibility to Protect, the definition of genocide is made up of two elements: the physical element, the acts committed, and the mental element, the intent. Intent is the most difficult element to determine. To constitute genocide, there must be a proven intent on the part of perpetrators to physically destroy a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group. However, various Israeli regime government and military officials have made several public statements since October 7, 2023, that deliberately erase the line between combatants and civilians and make clear their intent to utterly destroy Palestinian life in Gaza and the West Bank. Here are only a few. It's an entire nation out there that is responsible. This rhetoric about civilians not aware, not involved, it's absolutely not true. They could have risen up, they could have fought against that evil regime. "We will fight until we break their backbone," said Israeli President Isaac Herzog. Israeli regime war minister Yoav Galant said, "I ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip. There will be no electricity, no food, no fuel. Everything is closed. We are fighting human animals and we act accordingly." Also, Ariel Kalner, member of parliament from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party, says, "Right now, one goal, Nakba. A Nakba that will overshadow the Nakba of 1948. Nakba in Gaza and Nakba to anyone who dares to join." According to the Times of Israel, Heritage Minister Amichai Eliyahu has suggested dropping a nuclear bomb on Gaza. That's one way, he said. Additionally, he justified denying humanitarian aid to Gaza. We wouldn't hand the Nazi humanitarian aid. There is no such thing as uninvolved civilians in Gaza. As well, Palestinians can go to Ireland or deserts. The monsters in Gaza should find a solution by themselves. Also, anyone waving a Palestinian flag shouldn't continue living on the face of the earth. Benjamin Netanyahu has compared all Palestinians to the biblical Amalek nation, saying, "You must remember that Amalek has done to you," says our Holy Bible. According to religious scholar Hamza Andreas, the biblical reference to Amalek is genocidal. The Bible commands to wipe out Amalek, including women, babies, children, and animals. Furthermore, the Zionist regime and its U.S. sponsor has stated that it plans to ethnically cleanse all of Gaza, pushing its 2.3 million residents into the Sinai Desert and stealing even more Palestinian land, including, of course, its offshore assets. The governments of the collective West, led by the United States, have long claimed a moral superiority to the global South, pretending to represent democratic, progressive, and humanitarian values even as they bomb and destroy one country after another for year after year and decade after decade, including Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria, and Yemen, among so many others. Several of these countries have yet to recover from the devastation. As for the Zionist regime, Palestinian human rights lawyers, legal experts, and activists have for decades tried to hold the Zionist regime accountable for its apartheid and crimes against humanity at the International Criminal Court, ICC, only to be met with obstructions and silence. As the Palestinian human rights lawyer Noura Erekat said recently, "It was this fundamental failure that has led us to this moment, an ongoing crisis of a lack of accountability, of an imposition of two types of law, one for the global North, one for global South. This is a hypocrisy on the part of Western governments and demonstrates that there is no such thing as Western universalism, but instead continues to be two sets of laws on two sets of people." Of course, the current destruction of Gaza did not occur in a vacuum, and only a child and silly corporate news media outlets can believe that the so-called Israel-Palestine conflict began on October 7, 2023. Yet, somehow, that is what most political leaders of the collective West insist. History, according to these deluded figures, only begins when they say so and not a moment before. In stark contrast, the peoples of the collective West, in open defiance of their failed and corrupt governments, have overwhelmingly come out in the millions in support of the Palestinian people, calling for a full ceasefire and an end to the Zionist regime's apartheid and military occupation. Indeed, if there is any hope to be had in these truly dark times, other than the remarkable indigenous Palestinian resistance and steadfastness, it is in the free peoples of both the global North and South.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. On the blessed 5th of Jamadi al-Awwal, the birth anniversary of Prophet's granddaughter Hazrat Zainab Kubra, peace be upon her, who because of her piety and devotion to God Almighty was known as Zahida and Abida, the devoted. she found little of interest in worldly adornments, always preferring the bliss and comfort of the next world, and would say, "The life of this world is like a resting place to relieve fatigue along a journey."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, conceit destroys a person's soul and intellect. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The topic we're discussing today is conceit. And we have already known and come to know that this vice is something that is, in a way, more dangerous than many other vices that we may be carrying. Conceit is when somebody has an exaggerated opinion about themselves. They see themselves as someone special, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran informed us, "Whatever benefit comes to you, O man, it is from Allah. And whatever misfortune befalls you, it is from yourself." See, if we go back to our belief system, the Islamic belief system, we know it is an established fact that all goodness is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is also an established fact that all evil is created by humans. Our soul and spirit are created in such a way that it has potential to elevate to high spiritual levels, but we hinder its elevation. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Three things destroy man's spirit. Number one, following his desires. Number two, being greedy. And number three, yes, you guessed it right, it's conceit. Conceit is something that actually destroys our internal system, which is our spirit and our soul. Conceit is an enemy of a believer. So for us to be able to realize that at no point in time we be conceitful and develop this trait of conceit, we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more and realize that all of the goodness that we and others possess, all that is good out there is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of conceit and how it destroys a person's soul and intellect. Before the break, we brought for you a verse of Quran and Hadith that highlights the fact that conceit destroys one's soul. Let's talk about the intellect now. Conceit not only destroys a person's soul, it also destroys a person's intellect. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, said, "Conceit is a sign of deficiency in one's intellect." Imam Ali alayhi salam also said, "It is enough for a sign of ignorance to be conceited in knowledge." Brothers and sisters, sometimes we get too focused on performing a good action and be proud of it. According to the scholars of Akhlaq, it is a wrong approach. We have to first check
if an action brings conceit in us or not. So if that action is going to bring about conceit in, you know, let's say our spirit and our soul or our intellect, we need to first treat this conceit before we perform that action. We need to first remind ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's giving me this opportunity to perform this good deed. I am a no one. I have no strength. I have no power. I have no control. Right? Once you know that, okay, you are in a state where you're ready to perform that action, then Bismillah, go forward with that action. Imam Ali alayhi salam said in another place, an evil deed which causes sorrow in your spirit is better in Allah's sight than a good action which brings you conceit. See, this is why it's very careful and it's very tricky area where shaitan sometimes brings us to a point where we do a good action, so we become conceitful. What is our duty in the face of this trick off and the trap of shaitan? Our duty is to make sure that we are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Allah is the real in charge who has provided me with this opportunity to perform this good action.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome to Israel Watch, which has been following up on the Zionist aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip following the defeat of the occupation in Al-Aqsa flood operation, and has touched on the attacks that U.S. bases have been inflicted with in Syria and Iraq, the temporary truces that Washington discussed, and the battles with the Palestinian resistance and Hezbollah, as well as the escalation on the internal crisis inside the Israeli entity. I welcome Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, expert on Israeli affairs. Welcome to the show. Let us start with the drone that exploded in Eilat Israeli settlement, which was launched from Yemen, where the Israeli army admitted to the failure of the air defense HETS in intercepting it. So Israeli media tackled the U.S. declaration of a four-hour truce on a daily basis in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, noting that Netanyahu has not given its final decision on the matter. Sir, what is the U.S. aim behind declaring such temporary periods of truce? And do you think that Benjamin Netanyahu might be forced to agree to such truce?
First of all, we should point to the fact that the Americans are not interested in a ceasefire. A complete ceasefire in this period of time is a clear victory for the Palestinian resistance, and the U.S. does not want to acknowledge a victory for the Palestinian resistance, especially now, and for Israel to appear as clearly defeated. There is a path to the events that the U.S. is trying to draw in Gaza. This path can be described as following. First of all, humanitarian truces to allow emptying the north of the Gaza Strip, where people would move towards the south, which means there is an American-Israeli scheme that is being carried out to empty the northern part of the Gaza Strip and create a new Nakba. This would give an illusion of an image where Israel seems to have triumphed. We saw how Israel is already trying to present such pictures. How, for instance, there was a photo behind Netanyahu in a war cabinet meeting which showed Palestinians marching from the north to the south and presenting the scenario as a point of victory for the benefit of the Israeli enemy. Second, they think that emptying the north might help in fighting the resistance in a more concentrated manner. However, due to the wisdom and experience of the resistance, I think the situation will be like hell for the Israelis in the north. The last point is, the attempts to empty a lot of the anger in the streets of the international and Arab arenas. We see that the Israeli narrative did not last long in the Western media versus the events in reality.
So the Zionist illusions on annihilating the resistance in Gaza through carrying out aggressions and massacres might push the Israeli media to discuss the future of the Strip and on ruling it in the same way as the occupied West Bank by the occupation authorities. These internal disputes and division amongst the leaders of the Israeli occupation officials were also seen among the leaders of this aggressive war on Gaza. These non-stop disputes were strongly seen between Gallant and Eisenkot. So, Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, the disputes among the generals of the Zionist army seem strong and intense. How do you explain that?
Since the first day, we can say that Netanyahu has no trust in anything around him. Netanyahu is looking for his political future during this period of time. He is thinking of the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, but at the same time, he also thinks about how to preserve his own future, especially that he and other Israelis think that this political future came to an end on October 7th. I think part of the stupidity on the Israeli part and the international arenas is the talk about a post-Hamas phase in the Gaza Strip.
There is a propaganda made by the enemy that Hamas should be annihilated and a substitute authority must be found in the Gaza Strip.
In my opinion, Israel is not capable, whether on October 7th, throughout the current war, or even later on, to determine the destiny of Gaza and exclude the Palestinian resistance from the scenario, or exclude Hamas as a result of the October 7th events. I think this is part of the illusions found during this phase. Even the Jordanians and Egyptians are now saying that Hamas cannot be ignored in the Gaza Strip.
Now the U.S. military presence in the region is not here to deter the Palestinian resistance, nor to help the Zionist regime in its aggression on Gaza, but rather to confront Hezbollah and Iran, according to retired Israeli general Effie Itam. America cannot prevent Hezbollah from launching its missiles against the Israeli entity and fooling the Zionists that it will protect them from Hezbollah is a delusion. These are a few comments on the topics in Israeli social media.
River. Wherever there is war, there is the United States.
Bin Sharabi.
With all respect to Biden, Hezbollah launched missiles on Israel and we did not see the U.S. step in.
Bavel.
Lebanon declared war against us a while ago. Where is the intervention of the U.S. exactly? This is an illusion.
Crash.
Without the U.S., Israel will vanish in 2 weeks, and the U.S. will not interfere.
Despite the presence of the Americans, things might get out of control following the Hezbollah threats to the Americans, according to a former Mossad official. Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, the former official in the Mossad, is saying that the Americans have threatened Iran and things might get out of control. What do you think?
I think that up until this moment, things are under control in terms of being dragged into a regional war, especially that Netanyahu in particular, away from the Israeli regime, actually wants a regional war only in case of U.S. intervention. In other words, he knows that Israel cannot remain steadfast in the face of the northern and southern fronts on its own, and that if the war develops into a multi-arena war, he wants the U.S. to be at the heart of the battle. In other words, he wants to drag the U.S. into the zone. The U.S. so far wants Israel to restrict its war inside the Gaza Strip and does not want the war to extend beyond that. This is one point. Another point is that Israel sees the U.S. rival in this war as Iran, meaning that Iran is not a rival of Israel. Maybe we say that Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Islamic Jihad are the rivals of Israel. But he wants Iran to be seen as standing in the face of the U.S.
But Israeli military analysts say that the U.S. presence in the region is because of Hezbollah and Iran.
Yes, indeed. This is the true answer. This presence has different dimensions. First of all, providing logistical and actual aid, as we see these carriers. We're talking about more than 50 war vessels in the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea. We are here talking about real support that the U.S. is providing to the Israeli entity, as if saying America stands with you on the same path. But does this mean the U.S. will make a move that will enlarge this war? I think that until this moment, they want to limit the war to the Gaza Strip. And this is what the resistance front is fighting through wars of attrition in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Yemen.
Israeli media touched on the increasing attacks on U.S. bases in Syria and Iraq, which came in response to the U.S. participation in the war on the Gaza Strip. Zionist commentators pointed out that the U.S. response to these attacks was weak. So, Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, the analysts think that the U.S. response on the attacks on American bases has been weak so far. Your take on that?
There are two main reasons for this. The first reason is that they want to busy themselves completely in the Gaza Strip. There is a U.S. attempt to give Israel all the time it needs in its attempt to destroy the Palestinian resistance or weakening it in the Gaza Strip. Becoming busy in other fronts weakens this particular front and this project. There is an American and Israeli scheme to proceeding in terms of totally finishing things on the southern front and ending it for the long years to come. In a sense that this massive destruction in the Gaza Strip and the firepower Israel is using against the Gaza Strip is to even end any phase after the war. They are also thinking of the post-war phase, that reconstruction will require long years, and this will guarantee keeping the Palestinian resistance busy, of course, if it remains to exist, according to their scheme. The second point is that they want to focus on the war on Gaza without stirring up any action by the resistance forces in the region or provoking them, which might increase its firepower.
We move on now to the southern front of Lebanon, where the enemy is closely following up on the escalation of events with Hezbollah and its use of new weapons that were not seen during the first days, like the suicide missiles and drones. We discuss now South Lebanon and the Israeli confused question on where the Palestinian resistance factions, including Hamas, get its missiles and rockets that it fires from South Lebanon at the settlements and Israeli settlers. Okay, sir, so it seems like the occupation enemy has started to see these missiles launched by Palestinian resistance fighters from South Lebanon as weighty.
Well, the Israelis will try as much as possible to alienate the northern front. We said this earlier. Israel wants to alienate this front in case it is alone at war. As long as the U.S. does not directly get involved in the war in such a manner that it turns into a multi-front war. Therefore, Israel is trying to keep the focus on Gaza. But Hezbollah has another viewpoint. Hezbollah thinks that the northern front is a front of solidarity and support that allows wearing out the Israeli enemy and does not allow it to focus solely on Gaza. As for the comments on the missiles of Hamas or the Islamic Jihad, we should say that this is a whole resistance front we're talking about. The resistance forces have been coordinating among themselves for years, and this is something the Israeli enemy knows.
Well, on the northern front at the borders with South Lebanon, the situation will change because the settlements cannot remain empty from its citizens, according to an Israeli general. The pain the settlers feel at the borders with Lebanon due to their displacement is not something the people of South Lebanon feel as they remain in their homes. That is why the Radwan forces must be kept away from the borders, according to an Israeli analyst. The crisis of the displaced Zionists from the Gaza border and the borders with South Lebanon is increasing, and it has become a burden on the displaced settlers and their leaders. This topic was discussed thoroughly on Israeli social media, and these are a few of the comments.
Ron.
As long as we are militarily bound to the U.S., I doubt we can eliminate the threat of Hezbollah in the north.
Asaf Zamir.
What is this? The north is empty, but from soldiers. And the area around Gaza Strip is empty. They're only soldiers. The majority of the settlers in the north and in the south are now stranded in the middle of Israel.
Meir Friedman.
The Israelis must learn Israel does not have the ability to protect all the settlements of the north.
Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, your comments, please.
Even though Netanyahu is trying to extend this war for the sake of preserving his political future and realizing a real achievement on the ground, yet the file of the displaced is a pressuring file on two levels. These settlers think and ask, will we ever be able to return even when the war ends? This is a pivotal point. There is fear among the settlers that in case they return to the Gaza, there might be another operation like Al-Aqsa flood, and also in the north.
Thank you for participating in this episode of Israel Watch, Mr. Saleh Abu Azza, expert on Israeli affairs, and thank you. Until we meet again, goodbye.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has been attacking hospitals in Gaza City directly. According to witnesses, the wounded are everywhere, corridors, stairs, floors, and yards. The mass killing would overwhelm even the most well-equipped hospitals anywhere in the world. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Ibrahim Matar is a doctor working in the intensive care unit of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, Central Gaza. He said, Since the first day of the war, I have been living in a hospital as a doctor and a displaced Gazan. Matar has not seen his family for the duration of the war. He had to leave them so that he could work in Deir al-Balah, the city where the hospital is located, he said. It is catastrophic here. The wounded are everywhere, corridors, stairs, floors, and yards. The mass killing would overwhelm even the most well-equipped hospitals anywhere in the world. Gaza, which has always teetered on the brink of collapse even before the war, is sadly no exception to this reality. We don't have enough beds, equipment, or staff to help everyone properly. People are coming in with really serious injuries, burns, head injuries, and multiple broken bones. The ICU at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital has only 18 beds. That is inadequate given the huge numbers of people who have been wounded in the Zionist regime's airstrikes. Matar said, wounds are usually severe and inflicted to the extent that worms can be seen in the wounds. Patients who have been rescued from under the rubble usually have extensive burns filled with chemicals and dust. In one case, a 20-year-old woman had severe burns all down her right leg. Her wound was severely infected and full of dust and rubble. Doctors used vinegar and chlorine bleach to sterilize the wound. They also gave the woman multiple antibiotics. The efforts to save her proved unsuccessful, and the woman died in the hospital. Matar said, "Patients came to the hospital and we have nothing to provide. Analgesia is only available in the operating rooms. Otherwise, patients have to tolerate the pain no matter how severe it is. Unfortunately, even in the operating rooms, they will run out of analgesia soon." The Zionist regime has killed many of Matar's friends and colleagues in the hospital. He said, "Doa Awad was a hard-working, caring, and nice doctor. She received the dead bodies of her uncle's family before she went home to check on her family. The next day, we received her as a martyr." Muaz al-Nabhin, a volunteer doctor, was torn to pieces in an attack. He had been learning German as he planned to undertake a specialist training in Germany. Anas Youssef, a pregnant mom of a 3-year-old son, was killed along with her son. Her husband, a doctor, has sustained a severe spinal injury and is now unable to walk. Matar said, "Families full of dreams were killed in less than a second. These doctors have left an irreplaceable gap in our hearts. As fellow humans, friends, and colleagues in the medical field, their absence adds to the growing scarcity of vital medical staff, intensifying the weight of loss in these circumstances." The Zionist regime has been attacking hospitals in Gaza City directly and has ordered the evacuation of patients in some hospitals. Matar heaps scorn on such orders. He said, "Evacuate to where? This is nonsense, illogical, and impossible." At least 223 healthcare workers have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. Among them were 72 nurses, 37 physicians, 26 paramedics, 21 paramedics, and 14 laboratory technicians. Doctors are emotionally scarred by what they have seen and continue to see, particularly by receiving their own families and friends' dead bodies. Many doctors have seen patients die. Matar said, "A patient was fleeing to the south and witnessed bombardment nearby. His heart stopped. We tried to resuscitate him, but unfortunately we lost him. The situation has gotten so bad in Gaza that people are saying they would prefer to be killed swiftly than be injured in pain without proper treatment. Like everyone else in Gaza, doctors are struggling to keep going with very little food and water." Matar is tired of empty gestures. He urges everyone to pressure their leaders and insists that the Zionist regime ends its violence against Gaza. According to Al Jazeera English, more than 20 patients have died at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital in the past few days as the Zionist regime forces continue to raid the facility, according to a hospital official and the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza. The health ministry said, "Recently, 24 patients died over the past 48 hours due to power cuts at the hospital, which has been out of service amid the fuel shortage." Health Ministry spokesperson Ashraf Al-Ghudra said recently, 24 patients in different departments have died over the last 48 hours as vital medical equipment has stopped functioning because of the power outage. Muhammad Abu Salmiya, doctor at Al-Shifa Hospital, told Al Jazeera that 22 patients have died recently. The health facility has become the focus of the Zionist regime's ground offensive in northern Gaza, with special forces coming through the facility Amid growing international alarm about the fate of the hundreds of patients and thousands of civilians seeking shelter there.